Thank you, Father, for those words through Christ our Lord. And like I said, our teaching is going to be on hell. Excuse me, Riggs Hammond. You know, it's too bad that we have to go through this. It really comes down to it, because there is no Hebrew or Greek word for the word hell. Which, why are we even discussing this? Young's Bible, which was done in 1880s, the word hell's not in there. Rothman's Bibles, 1902, hell's not in there. I don't think the New World Translation, Jehovah Witness, hell's not in there, because there is no Greek or Hebrew word for hell. But we have to discuss this. Why? Because, well, film us, please. Here's Kenneth Hagin, who went to hell. And that's not a figure of speech. He wrote a book, and you look it up on YouTube. Let me just show you the end of the book, which was very interesting. And he's talking to a lady who didn't believe. I took her hand and said, "Oh, Kenneth, you're a preacher. Tell me that there is no hell. Oh, tell me." I said, "There wasn't any hell. I said, there wasn't any. I said, every preacher ought to be killed. I'm afraid. Oh, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. It's so dark. It's so dark. It's so dark. It's so dark. It's..." And she fell back on the... This is Kenneth Hagin. And she fell back on the pillar. We couldn't get through to her. And she died and went to hell, crying, "It's so dark. It's so dark." Men and women, boys and girls, young men and young women, there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. This may seem old-fashioned to some, but the old-fashioned gospel is still true today. Not true. Now, we have another book. Well, we're going to come up with a response, and this is called Love Wins, and this is done by Rob Bell. And he is saying that everybody ends up in heaven. That's his solution, because everybody's immortal. Everybody is immortal, so they have to be someplace. So it comes down as it, at the heart of this perception is the belief that, given enough time, everybody will turn to God and find themselves in the joy and peace of God's presence. The love of God will melt every bad heart, every heart, and even the worst depraved sinners will eventually give up their resistance and turn to God. So they're in a place after they die, and they will eventually, everybody will turn to God. To be clear again, an untold number of serious disciples of Jesus across hundreds of years have assumed a firm and precedent that no one can resist God's pursuit forever, because God's love will eventually melt even the hardest of hearts. At the center of the Christian tradition since the first church have been a number who insist that history is not tragic, hell is not forever, and love in the end wins and all will be reconciled to God. That's the solution. Now, a response to that was Francis Chan, which Erasing Hell. And he's responding to this to say, this guy's erased hell.
He what?
He erased hell.
Raced or erased?
Erased.
Erased. Erased hell.
Erased.
And this is very interesting. We're going to be discussing this. Question 4. Does the Old Testament word Sheol refer to hell? Is the question in his book. Well, the simple answer is no. Sheol isn't hell. The meaning of Sheol, often translated pit or grave, is difficult to translate. Which means, in the Old Covenant, the Hebrew text, there is no hell, because the only word is Sheol.
Well, they didn't know about it, though.
Obviously, but you got 4,000 years where it didn't exist, and you're writing about erasing hell. Strange, but you know, true, and we're going to find that. There's one other one. The fire that consumes... the biblical case for conditional immortality. All right, so we know that man is not immortal. The first problem that they have is man is not immortal, because people would come to Christ and say, what must I do to receive life age abiding? He should have said, everybody's got life age abiding. It's either in a good place or a bad place. Paul, when he says, and they're shunning him in the Acts, he says, so you turn away life age abiding, we'll go to the Gentiles. So they're turning down life age abiding. So the first problem people have done is that everybody's immortal. And both, all these people agree on that. And that's why you have to have a place for the bad people.
It's the first thing as Satan said.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not surely die.
And we're going to go, oh, and here's one other one too. This is done by Josephus, done by 100 A.D. And you see a lot of it is Hades. And the Septuagint translated Sheol Hades, which obviously is the god Hades, and he'll explain what people were believing at that particular time about Hades. And so a lot of things. I did do a paper on this. It's called Sheol Gehenna, so this is going to be a little bit more in depth. And it shows you how it came about. And it's a word study. We will begin in Genesis 2. The question we should all ask ourselves, you know, if there was a hell where people would be tortured eternally, for one thing, there wouldn't have been a tree of life in the garden. Because everybody has life. There would have been a tree of heaven or the tree of hell. And what are you going to choose? So Genesis 2, if any time Yahweh was going to explain the consequences of disobedience, it would be here, right? So we're going to do a little stuff that's not spoken. 2:15-17, and very simply, so Yahweh Elohim took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And Yahweh Elohim laid command on the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, dying thou dost die, or thou shalt die. And it should be, and once you die, oh, part two, you go to a place called hell, and you're tortured forever. But it doesn't say that. Now we go to 3:19. Obviously they ate of the tree. This is a good time too to say, guess what? You're going to die, not now because I took a blood sacrifice, but you're going, when you do die, eventually, which he's going to be 900 years old, you're going to, if you're in the wrong, if you've done wickedness, you're going to go to hell. But instead, in 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the ground, because thereof was thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. No mention of hell whatsoever in chapter 3. Now we go to, how about Cain murdering Abel? Good time to talk to Cain. Okay, you're going to hell for sure. Well, right, he's murdered his brother. 3:9-16. Melania, you want to read 9-16?
Yeah. Then said Yahweh unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not, the keeper of my brother am I? And he said, what hast thou done? With the voice the shed blood of thy brother is crying out to me from the ground. Now therefore accursed art thou from the ground which hath opened her mouth to receive the shed blood of thy brother at thy hand. Though thou till the ground, it shall not go on to give its vigor unto thee. A wanderer and a fugitive shalt thou be in earth. And Cain said unto Yahweh, greater is my punishment than I could bear. Lo, thou hast driven me out this day from off the face of the ground, and from thy face shall I be hid. So shall I become a wanderer and a fugitive in the earth, and it shall come to pass, whosoever findeth me will slay me. Yahweh said to him, not so. Whosoever slayeth Cain, sevenfold shall it be avenged. So Yahweh set for Cain a sign that it was none finding him should smite him. So Cain went forth in the presence of Yahweh and dwelt in the land of Nod, eastward of Eden.
Okay, good place to bring in hell. The consequence of what Cain did.
Bad news, Cain, you're going to hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell your father. Here's what it is. I've got some. Now let's go to Noah. Chapter 6, people were very bad. Chapter 6, 5 through 7, as we know. Then Yahweh saw that the great was the wickedness of man in the earth, and that every purpose of the device of his heart was only wicked all the day. And it grieved Yahweh that he had made man in the earth, and he took sorrow unto his heart. And Yahweh said, I must wipe off man whom I created from off the face of the ground, from man unto beast, into the creeping things, into the bird of the heavens, for I have grieved that I made them. All should have gone into hell. Yeah. Good place for hell there, not there either. Now we go to 9.
It's pretty evil.
Yeah, I mean, this is the height of it.
Evil.
9, 5, and 6, this is Noah. You know, after this is where capital punishment comes in for murder. With Cain, it wasn't. 6, he that sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of Elohim made he him. Be therefore fruitful, multiply, swarm in the earth, and multiply therein. Okay, so it comes down to, if somebody murders, he's going to hell. No, just go ahead and kill the guy. So that comes in, but no mention of hell whatsoever. Now we go to Sodom, which is a very good place, chapter 19.
That is a bad place.
Yeah. And then he placed all the people who should have gone to hell. Genesis 19. With Sodom and Gomorrah, 24 and 25. And Yahweh rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Yahweh out of the heavens. So he would overthrew these cities and all the circuit and all the inhabitants of the cities, and the produce of the ground went to hell. No. It just wiped them out. They're dead. Okay? How bad a thing has to get. So, no mention of here, very simply. Now, the only word that you can, the Hebrew that you can translate to be hell is Sheol, and nobody does that. The King James did it. Both, in the Old King James, I think it's 50-some times, the New King James, 30 times. But I'll tell you who doesn't. I'll write that down. Oh, yeah. The ASV, which was as American Standard Version in 1901, is all Sheol. NIV doesn't have it. New Living Translation does not have hell. I mean, so hell is not in their Old Testament. So I'm going to say the word hell is not in their Old Testament. HCSB, RSV, Amplified Bible. The hell is not in any of these books. Well, that is amazing. Because then it wasn't around for 4,000 years. And then it came about when Yahushua came. Which we're going to say that's the only explanation. Which, this should just stop everything. Stop, hold the boat. What's going on here? Now we go to the first usage, which is Genesis 3, of Sheol, Genesis 37. 37, 30. To show you, it has nothing to do with what is being taught.
Torture chamber.
This is Jacob. Yeah, it's a torture chamber for age abiding. Sheol is used 65 usages. And here's the first usage. And 34, and Jacob rent his garments and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned over his son many days. And all of his sons and all of his daughters rose up to console him, but he refused to be consoled. He thought Yosef was dead, or Joseph, and said, surely I will go down unto my son mourning to Sheol. And so Rotherham will translate all of Sheol in the Old Testament as Hades. So every time you see the word Hades, it's the word Sheol. That's the first usage. Let's go to Psalms 89. Everybody goes to Sheol. I realize that, the good and the bad. Everybody goes to Sheol. contrary to people going to heaven upon death, going to hell upon death. That's the other thing, too. If you want to know about who went to hell, just Google who went to hell. And you'll have all the testimonies of the people who are doing videos, selling books, whatever, who have gone to hell and back, saw their friends there. And it's, you can do the same thing with heaven. You can Google that. Oh, let me make one other point, too. Well, I'll do that in a minute.
What Psalm?
Psalm 89, 46 to 48. It's an example of Sheol being used. How long, O Yahweh, wilt thou hide thyself utterly? Shall thy indignation burn like fire? Remember how short-lived I am. Wherefore in vain hast thou created all the sons of Adam? Who is the man that shall live and not see death, that cannot deliver his soul from the hand of Sheol? This is Sheol. This is, everybody goes to Sheol. And we go into Hezekiah, but Isaiah, we won't go there, Isaiah 38, 9 through 20, very interesting. Hezekiah is a righteous king. And he was very sick, and he thought he was going to die, but Yahweh delivered him from death, Sheol. Death and Sheol goes all the way through here. So the other thing question should be is, remember the law of Moses? Remember all the cursings in Deuteronomy? Curse of this, and if you do this, you're going to... Wouldn't that have been a good place to say, if you do this, you're going to hell? I mean, the door wide open. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Not a word. But of all the bad stuff that are mentioned, it's all over the place. 28, 15 through 20. Would you want to read that, Wendy? 15 to 20 on chapter 28.
But it shall be, if thou do not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding thee today.
Should be, you go to hell.
Then shall come in upon thee all these curses, and shall reach thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shalt thou be thy basket and thy kneading trough. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the young of thy kind, and the ewes of thy flock. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Yahweh will send upon the cursing confusion and rebuke in all whereunto thou settest thy hand, that thou mayest do it until thou be destroyed.
It should be until thou go to hell.
And until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me.
So wait a minute here. Until thou be destroyed. It should be until you die and go to hell. Well, this has got a word, destroyed and perish. What is, a perfect opportunity to introduce this place called hell. In the New Covenant, or what they call the Greek New Testament, the word is Gehenna. And in my paper, I said it's Greek. It's not. Actually, Gehenna, Gah, is Hebrew for valley, and Henna is the place. It's the Valley of Hinnom. So it's very important to see that. We have to say, this is what Yahushua, I think it's used 12 or 13 times, Gehenna, or Valley of Hinnom, Yahushua used it, and it's a physical place southwest in Jerusalem. So here's the paper, and this is Zion, Jerusalem, Mount Moriah. And if you look in the corner right down there, the left corner, here's Zion. And in the left corner, what's that say?
Valley of Hinnom.
So, Yahushua doesn't say the word hell. He's telling people they're going to go to the Valley of Hinnom. That's Gehenna. It's a physical place. It's a proper noun. So when you're talking to your crowd, and they have to say, well, why is that supposed to shake people up? And we'll get to see. Gehenna is the number 1067. It comes from the Hebrew gay, or for valley. That's 1516. And Hinnom, which is number 2011. We're going to look at the Valley of Ben-Hinnom in the Old Covenant, southwest of Jerusalem. It's a physical place touching the Kidron Valley. So you got the Kidron Valley, you got Valley of Hinnom. We go to Joshua 15. This is the physical place. Remember, Joshua and them are entering into the land of Canaan. So this is the land of Canaan. Moses never was in the land of Canaan, so he doesn't, never going to say
what?
15. He's never going to say Valley of Hinnom. The 15:1, we're going to see this. So then the boundaries of the tribe of the sons of Judah by their families, and this is what we're talking about, context. We're talking about physical boundaries. And the verse 8, then ascendeth the boundary by the valley of the son of Hinnom, to the side of the Jebusites on the south, the same as Jerusalem. And the boundary goes up unto the top of the mountain which faces the valley of Hinnom. There's a physical geographic location of Hinnom. Now we go into King Ahaz, which was Hezekiah's father, 2 Chronicles 28. And we're going to see what starts happening in that valley. Now, all of people in Jerusalem, or Jerusalem, who are Hebrews that Yahushua is talking to, know the whole history of the Valley of Hinnom, which we're going to educate the Gentile people what it is. And that's in Chronicles 28:1-3. 20 years old was Ahaz, when he began to reign, and 16 years reigned he in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, like David his father, but walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, yea, even molten images made he to the Baalims. And he did what, Melania?
Burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom.
And did what?
The burnt son of his sons in the fire according to the abominable ways of the nations whom Yahweh disposed from before the sons of Israel.
There it is. So this is the first record of what's going on in the Valley of Hinnom. It's child sacrifice, and that's, I think, Moloch is connected with that. So we're going to find somebody who's going to stop this, but at the particular time, we're going to look at Manasseh, which came after Hezekiah, chapter 33, verse 1. You know, he was a person that was one of the most wicked compared to Ahab. Verse 1, 12 years old was Manasseh when he began to reign, and 55 years reigned he in Jerusalem. So what we have is the Valley of Hinnom is a holy place according to these pagan gods. That's why they're offering their children in a holy place.
Wow.
The Valley of Hinnom is a holy place.
Is it Ben Hinnom or Hinnom?
Now, Ben is son. Yeah. They'll call Valley of Hinnom or Valley of Ben Hinnom, the son of Hinnom. But it's just, so Gehenna is Valley Hinnom. Now we go to 5 through 6. You want to read that, Wendy?
Yea, he built altars unto all the army of the heavens in the two courts of the house of Yahweh. And he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and practiced hidden arts, and used divination, and practiced sorcery, and appointed a necromancer and a wizard. He exceeded in doing the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh to provoke him to anger.
Okay, so we got a good history. Here's a holy place where people are doing children's sacrifice. And now we're going to go to Josiah, who's going to end this. Well, kind of. Let's go to 2 Kings 22. And Josiah comes after Manasseh. So there's about 80 years between Ahaz and Josiah. So 22, 2 Kings 22. Excuse me. 1 and 2. 8 years old was Josiah when he began to reign, and 31 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jediah, daughter of Adah of Bakzkath. And he did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Remember, the law of Moses is human bones. You cannot even pass over a grave of human bones. If you did, you're unclean for 7 days. You know, so human bones, and that's why everybody painted the cemeteries and everything else, because that's defilement to be talked to human bones.
They painted the things white?
Yeah, they're called whitewashed sepulcher. And why? So you didn't step on it by mistake. You realize it's somebody's dead behind that rock that you're walking on. Now we're going to look at 23:10. And he cleans house. And he defiled, and this is what he ended up doing, the holy place, which is the Valley of Hinnom. He defiled Toheth, which was in the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, so that no man might cause his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Moloch. So what he did is he put dead bones, people's bones, everything else to make it unholy. Probably throw pork in there, pigs, dead pigs, everything else, so nobody's going to end up going into the valley. And this, when it becomes, obviously, the dump. Because now it's no longer a holy place, and that's why he's defiled it.
Stinky.
Yeah, and we'll get into that. But we're going to see in Jeremiah 7, remember, Jeremiah was during the end of Yisrael. Nebuchadnezzar has taken over.
After Josiah.
Yeah, and he was during Josiah and after.
Where?
Jeremiah.
What?
Let's see, 7, verse 30. When do you want to read 30 to 34?
For the sons of Judah have done that which was wicked in mine eyes, declareth Yahweh. They have set their abominations in the house whereupon my name hath been called, to defile it. And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn up their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded not, neither came it up on my heart. Therefore, lo, days are coming, declareth Yahweh, when it shall not be called any more the Topheth, nor the valley of Ben-Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And they shall bury in Topheth for want of place. And the dead bodies of this people shall become food for the birds of the bird of the heavens, for the beast of the earth, and there shall be none to drive them away. So will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for a desolation shall the land become.
It's a good note on the Valley of Hinnom. They cast into it refuge dead bodies of animals and of unburied criminals who had been executed. And since fires were always needed to consume the dead bodies because of the smell, that the air might not become tainted by the pure, by putrefaction. So now we've got the Valley of Hinnom is
on fire,
and it's defiled. Now we're going to go and read what Yahushua used it. And Matthew is most of the occurrences. Matthew 5, verse 22. And so what I'm going to tell everybody to do is when you see Gehenna or hell, say Valley of Hinnom. When Yahushua is talking, they know what the Valley of Hinnom is.
It's like saying Oklahoma.
It's like saying Oklahoma. Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, worthless one, shall be liable to the high council, and whoever shall say, rebel, shall be liable unto the fiery valley of Hinnom. Okay? Very simply. Verse 29. And if thy right eye is causing thee to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it profiteth thee that one of thy members should perish and not thy whole body be cast into the valley of Hinnom. Verse 30. And if thy right hand is causing thee to stumble, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it profiteth thee that one of thy members should perish and not thy whole body into the valley of Hinnom. Depart. Chapter 10, verse 28. That is the Valley of Hinnom. People have no idea. They don't even know what Gehenna is. And so the King James and most of all the other Bibles are just going to put the word hell. 10:28. Let's see. And be not in fear by reason of them that are killing the body and the soul are not able to kill, but fear rather him who is able both soul and body to destroy in the valley of Hinnom. 18:9, which is a defiled place. 18:9. If thy eye cause thee to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It seemeth thee have one eye unto life to enter rather than having two eyes to be cast into the fiery valley of Hinnom. 23:15. Alas for you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you compass sea and dry land to make one convert, and when it is done, you make him a son of the valley of Hinnom, twofold more than ye, which obviously is a defiled place. You made him a son of a defiled place, which is where children's sacrifices were made. Verse 33. Serpents, brood of vipers, how should you flee from the judgment of the valley of Hinnom? Now, obviously we know that this is also going to be referred to the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is not used in the Old Covenant. It's not even used except in the book of Revelation, the lake of fire. But before we go there, we're going to see what happens then, you know, to the bad people if they just die and they got away with it. As we know right now, that majority of the people who do really bad things do not pay their price while they're alive. And so that would mean they got away with it. So what about that? And so that's, so yes, that's going to happen. It's called the resurrection. So everybody dies and goes to Sheol. And then there's two resurrections. And why would you resurrect the bad people?
Yeah, they're already in hell.
Well, but no, I mean, they're dead. Why would you resurrect? Because they're not going to have life age abiding. Why would I give them life again to judge them for what the bad stuff that they did? Otherwise, I would just leave them dead, and they did get away with it. No. Since there's going to be a resurrection of the just, we can understand that, because then we're going to be with Christ and Yahweh. But the resurrection of the unjust, there is. And that's John 5:28, Acts 24:15. We don't have to necessarily go there, but that's the resurrection of the unjust. Now, so let's just see what Yahweh actually says about the good people and the bad people. And we do that in Psalms 37. So if you ever try to get somebody to just what happens to the good people, what happens to the bad people, and these are never even taught. Today we say good people go where?
Heaven.
Bad people go to?
Hell.
Hell. Psalms 37.
What?
Psalms 37 disagrees. We're never going to see the word heaven or hell any place together, ever. We've just followed the tradition of men. So Psalms 37, 1 and 2, you just go through the whole chapter 37. Burn not with vexation because of evildoers. Okay, we're addressing concept, evildoers. Be not envious of the workers of perversity. For like grass, soon shall they what?
Wither.
And like green herbage shall they fade. Good place to say go to hell. Right there. And it goes all the way through here, 8 to 11. Verse 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath, burn not with vexation, only do evil. For evildoers shall go to hell.
Nope.
Evildoers shall be cut off, but as for them who wait for Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth, not heaven. So now what we got is the new earth, the new earth, the new earth. Nobody knows about the new earth. It's all over here. Let's go to 27:29. Mark the blameless man, behold the upright, for there is a hereafter for the man of peace. According to us, religion, there's a hereafter for everybody, because they're immortal. But transgressors are to be, go to hell. No, are to be destroyed together. The hereafter of lawless men is to be what? Cut off. Very simply. Let's go to Romans 12:19. Not avenging yourself, beloved, but give place unto their anger. For it is written, mine is avenging, I will recompense, saith Yahweh. Yahweh is very clear that there's going to be a resurrection of the unjust, and he will pay them back. But if thy enemy hunger, be feeding him. If he thirst, be giving him drink. For this doing, cast coals of fire, shall I keep upon his head. Now we go to 2 Thessalonians 1. That's called restitution, to be restored. And so we got a paper on that. It's called Yahweh's Justice. You got on that? It's in our website. Okay. The oppressed shall be vindicated. And let's see, where are we? 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. We are bound to be giving thanks unto Yahweh continually concerning you, brethren, even as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of each one of you all, one to another, aboundeth, so that we ourselves and you are boasting in the assemblies of Yahweh over your endurance of faith and all your what?
Persecutions
and tribulations which you are sustaining. They're coming against them. So what does Yahweh say with the people who are hurting you? A proof of the righteous judgment of Yahweh to the end, ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of Yahweh in behalf of which you are suffering. If at least it is a righteous saying with Yahweh to do what? To recompense affliction unto them that afflict you. And unto you that are afflicted, release with us by the revealing of the Lord Yahushua from heaven with his messenger of power in a fiery flame, holding forth vengeance against them that refuse to know Yahweh and them who decline to hearken unto the glad message of our Lord Yahushua, who indeed a penalty shall pay, age-abiding destruction from the face of Yahweh and from the glory of His might. So yes, they will pay a price.
Age-abiding destruction.
Yeah, and that's eventually what we're all going to do. So we go to a Revelation. And so, it's very simply, there is a resurrection of the just and there's a resurrection of the unjust. The resurrection of the just happens first, and that's Revelations 20. Okay, let me start verse 4. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and sentence of judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded because of the witness of Yahushua, because of the word of Yahweh. So we got a little persecution. Nah, we still got our heads.
Yeah.
Because it reminded me of Islam. Islam beheads. And such as had not done homage unto the wild beast or to his image, nor had received the mark upon their forehead or upon their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. Watch the rest of the dead, the ones who took the mark of the beast and everything else, lived not until the 1,000 years was ended. That's the resurrection of the unjust. This is the first resurrection. Happy and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Upon them the second death hath no authority. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of the Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So the second resurrection begins after the 1,000-year reign. This is where the dead are going to be raised, the wicked dead, and they're going to pay their price. Vengeance is coming upon them, and everybody's going to get their amount. And so if you need a day's worth, all right, you get a day's worth. If you need 1,000 years worth, you get 1,000 years worth, depending on what evils that you actually did. So Yahweh's going to do that. Now we see in verse 10, back in 19, we're going to see the wild beast and the false prophet were thrown alive into the lake of fire. So there's three entities that are going to be thrown alive into the lake of fire. Those and then the adversary. So in 10, the adversary was bound for 1,000 years and he comes out. And the adversary that had been deceiving them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where both the wild beasts and the false prophets, and they shall be tormented day and night unto the age of ages. And I saw a great white throne, and him that was sitting thereon, from whose face fled the earth and heaven, and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the book was opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the book according to their works, very simply. And so you got good works, you're going to get a lot of rewards. You got bad works, and you did not give restitution or corrected those bad works, you're going to pay the price. And that's where the justice comes in, the justice of Yahweh. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Sheol gave up the dead that were in them. There it is. Death is synonymous. I mean, it goes hand in hand with Sheol. Human death goes hand in hand with Sheol or Hades. And they were judged, each one according to their works. And death and Sheol were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found in the book of life written, he was cast into the lake of fire. Very simply. So we find out fire, which we were talking about Melania then, is very representative of judgment. And if you go through, I'm not going to go through, but Isaiah 30, verse 27, verse 30, verse 33, is associated with, well, maybe we ought to go there. Isaiah 30,
Thank you.
Yahweh was the fire upon the mount.
Fire consumed Nadab and Abihu.
Yeah. Yeah. That's judgment. So we know when we have fire in the valley of Hinnom, obviously we know is representative of what's going to happen to people, judgment with fire. And Yahweh's associated with that. Fire can be good from the altar, and it can be bad. 30 verse 27. Lo, the name of Yahweh cometh in from afar, his anger kindled. A heavy storm, his lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is like a fire that devoureth. And his breath like an overflowing torrent, even under the neck does reach. To sieve nations with a sieve of calamity, bridle and to ruin upon them upon the jaws of the people. Verse 30. Then will Yahweh cause to be heard the resounding of his voice, and the bringing down of his arm shall be seen, in a rage of anger and with the flame of a devouring fire, a burst and a downpour and a hailstone. Verse 33. For there hath been set in order beforehand a Topheth, yea, the same for the king hath been prepared. He hath made it deep, made it large, the circumference thereof is for fire and wood in abundance. The breath of Yahweh, like a torrent of brimstone, is ready to kindle it. So judgment is fire. And the last one, let's go to Isaiah 66, 24. We'll end there. Then shall go forth and look upon the dead bodies of the men who have been trespassing against me. For their worm shall not die, and their fire shall not be quenched. So shall they become an abhorrence to all flesh. And you'll see that sometime. Yahushua will say, where the worm dieth not. So there will be judgment. There will be a second resurrection. There is no such thing as hell. There is the valley of Hinnom. There is Sheol. Everybody goes to Sheol. Everybody's going to be resurrected. One other places in 2 Corinthians 5:10, and we know everybody's going to sit before their judgment seat of the Christ. They're going to get back to good and the bad. So very simply, and that's also in Colossians 3, I think 26, the good and the bad. So justice will be served, but it's not according to man. This is doctrine of demons.
Yes,
what it comes down to. And he's very famous and did some good stuff. But he says he's talked to Jesus 30 minutes at a time, multiple times. And when he talks and you come up with things like this, you're not talking to Jesus. All right? Now, you're deceived or whatever, but we got a ton of people who have been to heaven, a ton of people who have been to hell. That has nothing to do with this book. So we'll go ahead and get to hear from our Heavenly Father as a prophecy for the listeners. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. Be bold, be courageous. You have been called in order to be my representatives, my ambassadors, who have given you great authority and great encouragement to spread my light, my word, but speak of the truth. You have to speak the truth, and only the truth will set people free. Amen. See you next week.